The Toronto Raptors select DeMar DeRozan from the University of Southern California.
And gets that to go. What a game DeRozan's having. He's got 29.
DeMar DeRozan, the Toronto Raptors. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscaglini.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 a.m., Tuesday edition of the show, and always excited to bring in our next guest from BasketballInsiders.com, and he's also the host of the Triple Threat NBA podcast, which you can listen to weekly. He's a great friend of the show, Jabari Davis. Jabari, a lot of NBA basketball talk to get to today, so I appreciate you taking out the time. Thank you.
Absolutely, my pleasure. You know, I always appreciate the opportunity.
Well, let's start by talking about what happened last night. It was almost a catastrophic collapse by the Toronto Raptors, yet somehow they find a way to overcome Cleveland starting 10 of 10 from the field in the fourth quarter and even falling behind by a couple of points in the latter stages of the game. But they find a way to persevere just like they have all year long, and they knot this series up 2-2. Now there's cause for concern in Cleveland, right? Because Toronto, in my mind, has a top three or four backcourt in the NBA, and they have found a way to shorten this series. It's now a best 2 out of 3. Ideal situation for Toronto, and I think there's some cause for concern in Cleveland right now.
Absolutely, and especially when you don't know, what type of condition Kevin Love is in. It was kind of swept under the rug during the game, or at least, not paid much attention to, because the question was whether, whether it was a case of Tyronn Lue simply not wanting to go back to him after sitting him for so long, or if that ankle or foot, there's some actual structural issues there. And that's always going to be the thing with Cleveland. We saw it last year, obviously with Kyrie, and Kevin going down. And this year, look, they've been rolling. There were even questions about could they eclipse that 15-1 record and all of that, from the 2001 Lakers, if I'm not mistaken. Well, all of that's out the window now, and all of a sudden, like you said, the Raptors have fought back. They've done an excellent job of shortening this series. And if you're going into if you're going into games 5 through potentially 7 without the services or with the limited services of Kevin Love, if you're Cleveland, you have to be worried.
Give me some insight here on Kevin Love, Jabari, because I don't know if the foot stepping on the official's foot and him having an injury is kind of a cover-up for the fact that Tyronn Lue did not want to go with him late in the fourth quarter, because I think it may have been a combination of both, because if you look at it realistically, Channing Frye was outplaying Kevin Love last night. Hands down, he outplayed Kevin Love, and I wondered if having Channing Frye out on the court launching three-point shots just seemed like a better option than Kevin Love, even though Frye, sometimes he's going to play the five. Tyronn Lue has gotten pretty creative with him. How much of that was really an injury for Kevin Love, and how much of it is kind of a cover-up on behalf of Tyronn Lue not wanting to go with him late in the game?
I'll say this. Like you, I wondered the same thing, and that's why I kind of mentioned it. Because, look, we make no bones about it. Channing Frye was the better option last night. Not only did he get hot, not only did he actually start to space the floor for them, but if I'm not mistaken, and I don't have the stats in front of me, Kevin Love, if I'm not mistaken, in that first quarter alone was 1 for 6 from the 3-point line. I don't know how he did, in the rest of his action, but you make an excellent point. That very well could have been the case. I'll put it like this: if you're Cleveland, you sure hope that's the case. You hope it's the case of Channing Frye simply being the stronger option, and Kevin Love, at least will be available at full health. I guess we'll see over the next 24 hours or so.
I know you can't base playing time off of what you pay players, but you have Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson sitting on the bench. Jabari, that's a lot of money that Cleveland has shoveled out for those two individuals, and they're not playing.
Look, I asked the question when they first were even talking about re-signing Tristan Thompson. It wasn't a matter of not liking Tristan Thompson. It was just, for one, I thought, hey, wow, that's a huge number for him. But when you had already paid Kevin Love, and they both played pretty much the same position, and neither one of them is look. I don't want to make this about dragging Cleveland through the streets. But after this season, say they don't end up winning this title. I think at the very least you have to look at that and say are we spending our money wisely, or should we look at least potentially trying to move one of those two players? Especially if you continue to get this type of play out of a guy like Channing Frye, whom, if I'm not mistaken, they picked up off the scrap heap this year.
I don't want to make this about what Cleveland isn't doing and more about what Cleveland isn't doing and less about what Toronto has done. But I'm sitting here watching this game, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out what Timothy Mozgov has done to go in the doghouse to this extent under Ty Lue. Seems like he was an important role player last year for this team. I don't know if they get to the NBA Finals without Timothy Mozgov, because, again, there were some problems around this Cleveland team, and he seemed to be the breath of fresh air, yet he's nowhere to be found in the rotation, period, much less the series.
Well, it seems to me like they're going for offense as opposed to defense, but the question is, how long are you going to let Bismack Biyombo just dominate the backboards? You know what I mean? Like, how long are you going to let him dominate the backboards? How long are you going to allow him to kind of have free range? Now, I realize that when Channing Frye came in the game, that did make it a little bit different. You know, it spread the court. It drew Biyombo away from the rim, and it kind of opened things up for the rest of their players to go to work. It'd be scoring towards the basket, but like you, I'm at least wondering, why not give it a shot? Especially if when you don't have Frye in there, or when you're not hitting threes and Biyombo is able to just kind of roam the paint and cause havoc. Why not give it a shot?
Let's talk about DeMar DeRozan here for a second. He's going into a contract year, obviously. I think he's going to get paid one way or the other this offseason. He's 14 of 23 from the field last night. He only shot one three-point shot. I mean, this guy has become a mid-range guru, which I love because it's a lost art right now in the NBA. He scores 32 points last night and primarily was guarded by LeBron James. Now, Toronto did an excellent job of setting body screens to get DeMar DeRozan away from LeBron James and get him, man demand with some of the other favorable matchups. As a team last night, Toronto was fantastic, and DeMar DeRozan was nearly unstoppable, along with Kyle Lowry, who scored 35 points. Look, this backcourt is that potent.
Look, it is funny because we talked about this the other day, and credit to you, you mentioned them as one of the, as a top four backcourt in the league, and you're right. At times it's feast or famine, because they do rely upon jump shots so much, and DeMar can be, for me, for my taste, while 100% he deserves and will get paid the max money, whether it's from Toronto or another team this summer, sometimes I'm not necessarily in love with all aspects of his game, but you're right. Look, when those two guys get going, and which obviously they did last night, they are always going to be tough to beat. It's kind of like, and believe me, I am not comparing them to OKC, but it's kind of like, look, with OKC, you know what you're going to get out of, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. So if those guys can get it going and get the support of players like Bismack Biyombo, Johnson, Corey Joseph and all of those guys, they're just really tough to beat. And you know what this is? This is a testament to at least let's give respect to Toronto, because quite frankly, not many of us thought that they were going to have a chance in this series. But they've responded. They went down 0-2. They came home. They took care of business. This is going to be a really fun finish. A really fun finish.
How important is Game 5 to Toronto winning this series?
Absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. I'm not saying they can't win a game in Cleveland, but it's going to be a lot easier to win a Game 5 than it would be to win a Game 7. As much as Cleveland looks like they're on the ropes, as much as it's like, are they going to play Love as Lover? Let's be real. They still have LeBron James. They still have Kyrie Irving. They still have a very strong supporting cast around them. So if you're Toronto, I'm not saying it's a must win, but it's as close to a must win on the road as you can possibly get, in my opinion.
Again, Jabari Davis of BasketballInsiders.com and the Triple Threat NBA podcast joining us over the phone right now. Jabari, we'll move over, talk a little bit about tonight's game, Golden State at Oklahoma City. Draymond Green will play, the NBA passing on a possible suspension regarding Draymond Green. We talked a lot about this on the show yesterday. Kiki Vandeweghe, head of basketball operations for the NBA, was on several shows yesterday talking about the reasoning for not suspending Draymond Green. Your reaction to it?
I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at all. That's not saying that. Look, I'm not even going to mince words about it. It was a dirty play. I'm not saying that Draymond Green is a dirty player. In fact, he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league. But you have to call a spade when you see it. The play was dirty. It was. That said, the NBA is a business. This is an entertainment league. They realize that this is, and I don't. I hope I'm not going to get myself in trouble by saying this because it's actually just stating the obvious. But they realize that if they were to sit him, and then Golden State were to go down 3-1, I'm not saying the series would be over, but it would put obviously put a ton of pressure on on the Warriors heading back to Oracle. Now that said, there's no guarantee that they win even with him in the lineup. It's just that when it comes to the playoffs and you get down to this situation, it doesn't necessarily shock me that you don't see it. Although if you're the NBA, suspend him. Although, but if you're the NBA, you do kind of look like a little bit of there's a little bit of hypocrisy there, especially given the fact that Dante Jones, a big player, was just suspended for doing a similar act, except for obviously with his hand instead of his foot, to Bismack Biyombo just a couple nights before, and he was suspended.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I predicted that Draymond would not get suspended once I saw the Dante Jones suspension, because Dante suspended one game for a punch. Hard to suspend Draymond Green when you could actually take the side of saying, okay, well, he's got a history of flailing. He's got a history of throwing his limbs all over the place, and it was a kick, not a punch. If Dante would have gotten two games, I would have definitely have expected Draymond to get at least one game.
Yeah, exactly. I can't rightfully say, Draymond absolutely, positively, 100% tried to do it, but I'll just say it like this. I think he did.
Yeah, I do too.
Neither here nor there. He didn't. The way that Draymond plays, that at least giving him that flagrant two is vital. Because, look, they may have given you the relative benefit of the doubt this last time, but if you do anything else, you're out for a game. And it's going to be in a big situation, and it would probably mean they would lose him for essentially two games, because he'd probably get kicked out of that game that he did, he committed the act in, as well as a suspension that would come after the fact. So if you're Draymond, you just got to be smart about it. Everybody knows you flail and all of that, but you've got to be smart about it throughout the rest of these playoffs.
Jabari Davis, BasketballInsiders.com and the Triple Threat NBA Podcast. Jabari, go ahead and let the listeners know where they can find more Jabari Davis.
Hey, again, I always appreciate the opportunity, Jordan. Thank you so much. If you do the Twitter thing, if you do that sort of thing, you can find me at Jabari Davis NBA. As Jordan mentioned, you can find me at BasketballInsiders.com, as well as on the Triple Threat Podcast, which I'm very honored to have Jordan on a weekly basis.
Jabari, it's always fun to talk with you. I know there's a lot of other scenarios and storylines that are going to be popping up here relatively soon that you'll be covering in depth with the NBA draft, so hopefully we can get you on again real soon.
All you got to do is let me know, and I'm here.
Fantastic. That's Jabari Davis from BasketballInsiders.com and the Triple Threat NBA Podcast. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back. There's more straight ahead here on Drive Time Sports.